In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The coming again of our Lord in glory, that which we wait and watch for, will indeed be like his resurrection from the dead. That is how we shall behold him. He will come with an earthquake, and the shout of the archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God. And those who have no faith in him will cower upon their knees in fear and trembling, for it will be too late. But for those of us who are called by his name, we will be like these myrrh bearers, leaving the tomb and coming upon the risen Lord Jesus in joy and in astonishment. We will be on our knees also, but not in fear and trembling, but in thanksgiving, in hope, in adoration, that every word he has spoken to us will now at that time be fulfilled. We really are like these women. Sunday in the epistle, we were warned not to be like the scoffers, who scoff and mock the faith because the Lord's coming is delayed, because the Lord's coming has seemed to not happen, because the Lord's coming seems to have been a false hope. Do not listen to them and do not be like them. Rather, we are like these women, for good and for ill. The Lord had told them he would rise from the dead on the third day. And yet, why have they come to the tomb? They've not come, and I think we often miss this point because we know the story so well and we know the end. They've not come to look for the risen Jesus. They've not come to find an empty tomb. They have come to mourn and to lament at the tomb of a dead man. They have come with linens, fresh linens, with the burial spices, to finish and to do completely what had to be rushed Friday afternoon because the Sabbath was drawing near. They have come to finish burying Jesus, to leave him in the dust of the grave until his bones should be gathered up and placed in an ossuary. More room left in that tomb for another son of men to whom the fate of men has befallen. They knew better, and yet they've come as though the word of Jesus was nothing, as though the word of Jesus were not true. They've come to mourn and to lament and to bury, just as we, how often, more times than we care to admit for sure. How many times have we forgotten the word of the Lord? How many times have we forgotten for whom we are waiting? Like the virgins in this coming Sunday's gospel, all fall asleep. No one keeps a perfect vigil, wise or foolish. But the wise knew for whom they were waiting. The wise knew that the bridegroom would come, even if it seemed to them to be a long and untenable wait. He would come nonetheless. And so they came and they brought oil. The foolish, however, thought the waiting would be quick and that the oil in their lamps was more than enough. And when the cry went out, they are found lacking and unprepared for his coming. For as much as we are like the women, let them serve as a warning to us that we must heed the word of the Lord, that what he has spoken to us is true, that he will fulfill in every exact, precise detail everything he has promised us. Has he not been crucified for our transgressions? Has he not been raised up for our justification? Does he not, even at this moment, sit at the right hand of power interceding for us on our behalf to his Father in heaven, asking him to look at us not by virtue of our own merits or worthiness, but to look at us through the veil and curtain of his pierced flesh and shed blood. To look at us and to see his name inscribed upon us in the bloody waters of baptism. To look upon us by virtue of the sacrifice that we have eaten from upon the altar, in the fellowship and in the presence of God himself, for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening and preservation of our faith, and the resurrection of our own bodies. Do not doubt. Do not forget. For Jesus who died and rose again, Jesus who forgives every single last one of your sins, is coming again. He has paid your price. He has paid your penalty. He has reconciled you to the Father in heaven. What then is there to fear about his coming again? He comes for you not as the avenging judge. He comes for you as your brother of flesh and blood. He comes for you just as he met those forgetful, doubting, fearful women. He comes and he speaks peace to you. He comes to gladden your heart. He comes, if you should die before his coming again, he comes to raise your body up in glory and in perfection. And if by the grace of God you should still be alive on that day, he comes to transform your body in the twinkling of an eye, that you may, whether dead or alive, rise up to meet the bridegroom in your own body, to see him face to face with your own eyes and not another. For like Job, your Redeemer lives. And as he has fulfilled those words of promise, so he shall fulfill this word of promise. But neither forget that there is another word. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As you wait, as you pray, and as you watch, as you keep vigil in the Lord's church waiting for his coming, you are not abandoned. For the one whom you await in glory and in majesty on the last day comes to you now in grace and in mystery in the Holy Communion, where he gives to you that same flesh which he offered up for your sake upon the cross, and which is raised up again, as he gives you his blood poured out to reconcile you to the Father, to quench the cherub's flaming sword barring the entrance to the tree of life. That same flesh and blood which he implores his Father to look at you through and by virtue of, he gives you to eat and to drink, that he may abide in you and you in him. Yes, you wait, and yes, the waiting is long. And sometimes, maybe even most times, it's hard. But you are not abandoned. You are not orphaned. The Lord Jesus, who has come in humility, in the flesh, as the babe of Bethlehem, comes now to you in grace and in mystery in the Holy Communion to strengthen your faith, to fill your lamp with oil, to make you patient in the watch, that you may receive him in glory when he comes again in majesty on the last day. Let us not be afraid of that day. Let us look all the more forward to it gladly, knowing that he will come to meet us as he met these women coming from the tomb. And gone will be all fear, gone will be every tear. For we shall behold in our flesh God himself, our Redeemer who lives in his flesh, as he brings us into his eternal marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.